Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Seated.
For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. With these words, our Lord Jesus ends the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. But that wasn't the first time he spoke those words. He also spoke those words, the very same words, in fact, at the end of the parable of the wedding feast. That's the parable in which he tells those who are gathered together at the house of a Pharisee not to choose for themselves the places of honor, lest they be dishonored and humiliated by the host, but rather to take for themselves the lowest place so that they might be honored in the presence of all. And besides those two instances, we also have a very similar statement recorded in Holy Scripture, sung by Jesus' mother Mary in the Magnificat. She praised God and declared, "He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of lowly estate." This theme of reversal, the exalted being humbled and the humble being exalted, comes up again and again in the Gospels and really throughout Scripture. Why? Because it has to do with the most foundational doctrine of our Christian faith, the doctrine of justification. Now, this doctrine of justification is no pie in the sky, otherworldly head in the clouds exercise with no application to real life on earth. Far from it. Justification is everyday life for everyone. People, whether they realize it or not, spend every day, every hour, every minute of their lives attempting to justify them. That is, to lift their lives out of lowliness, meaninglessness, worthlessness, and exalting them to a place of value, a place of purpose, a place of honor. How do they do it? Well, there's a million different ways. Many do so by means of what they have and what they own, by the clothes that they wear each day, the car that they drive, the size of their house, the balance in their bank account. They are justified because of what they possess. Sometimes it's more personal, more innate. Their good looks, their heritage, their values, their good nature and disposition. They're justified by something about themselves, who they are, what they feel, where they come from. Still many more make it a matter of what they do and have done. Their political activity, military service, participation in various service organizations, maybe even church membership. Justification is a matter of who you have associated with and what you've done. All of these things and many more are used by people all around the world, all throughout history, to justify themselves, to declare that they and their lives are good. Whatever it may be, human life is filled with unending attempts to justify oneself before death. And it's at funerals that this especially becomes apparent. How often funerals are nothing more than one last attempt at self-justification in the eyes of his or her peers. But while these things may justify you in the eyes of men, and it's worth noting that many of those things are good in and of themselves, they can do nothing to justify you in the eyes of God. Before God, every single person must stand. And he does not judge you on the basis of what you have or what you've done or what you've accomplished. No, God has given you the standard of his judgment. That is the law, the Ten Commandments. You shall not. This is what the Lord commands, and this is his measure for judgment. And the Scripture says that he's written this law on every single human heart, which is why we see that the religion of natural man is to seek justification before God on the basis of good works. And that brings us again back to the parable this morning. Jesus spoke this parable to those who hold such a natural religion, those who hold a religion of justification by works. Luke tells us that Jesus spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. They trusted their characteristics, their piety, their good works to exalt themselves into God's presence. And in doing this, in trusting in themselves that they were righteous, they treated others with contempt. They despised, they thought nothing of the rest of humanity, even those closest neighbors to themselves. And they had to. For if you're going to trust in yourself that you are righteous, your works exalt you before God, then you had better make sure that you're better than the guy next to you. And so thought the Pharisee in the parable today. There's no reason to think that he was a hypocrite, like we often think of the Pharisees. There's no reason to think that he wasn't telling the truth in his prayer. He wasn't a wicked man at all. He walked the walk in addition to talking the talk. He kept the commands of the law of Moses. He certainly remembered the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. He went to the temple not to buy or sell doves or to exchange money. He went to the temple to pray, which is the purpose of the temple, as we heard last Sunday. He also fasted twice a week. He gave 10% of all he had to the Lord. He wasn't a greedy man, or an unjust man, or a lustful man. He certainly wasn't like that traitorous, idolatrous tax collector. Well, this Pharisee was a good man. The kind of man you'd like to have marry your daughter. The kind of man you'd like to have work for you as your employee. Maybe even the kind of man we'd like to have as an elder here at our church. The Pharisee attempted to justify himself on the basis of all of those good things. He appealed to God on the basis of what he had done. He tried to exalt himself by his works over and against the works of the rest of humanity. He separated himself from everyone else. He came before God in prayer in the temple with a list of what he'd done. He took a stand on the law of God, that law that says, You shall not. The Pharisee said, I have not. And so you owe me. You owe me, O God. You owe me life. You owe me salvation. Now the Pharisee trusted in himself that he was righteous. He exalted himself before God. But Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And so God said in response, you are not good enough. You've not done enough works. You've done too many sinful things and not enough good things. You have not kept my law as fully and completely as I demand, which is perfectly, without one single failure. Moreover, your very heart, your very nature is corrupted by sin. You were conceived and born in it. You are a sinner before you have even done a single work, thought a single thought, said a single word. If this is all you have to offer, sin-stained works, a sin-sick heart, and you must take your reward with the rest of wicked humanity. You see, in the end, before God, under the standard of his righteous, holy law, the Pharisee was not set apart from other men. In fact, he was like all other men. In the eyes of the law of God, there is no difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector, the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers. No distinction between him who trusted in himself that he was righteous and those whom he treated with contempt. No distinction between any man. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And therefore, Jesus says, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Our Lord spoke this parable for a good reason. Not just to those who 2,000 years trusted in themselves that they were righteous, but to us today who are tempted to do the same. And therefore we ought to heed these words carefully. If you would be like the Pharisee and like those who find their righteousness in themselves, if you would cling to every virtue, association, good deed, and piety of yours and exalt them to the throne of heaven, wave them before God's eyes and say, here, O Lord, are the reasons why I deserve for you to save me, for you to honor me, for you to give me life, to stand before your throne, then you will undoubtedly fall. For your virtues, associations, good deeds, and pieties are not good enough, not nearly close. Not according to the perfect standard of God's law. You are a sinner. As we sang moments ago, you do not have those pure desires that the law requires. And therefore, you will be humbled by God, even unto death. And that death unto which you will be humbled is a death from which you will never escape. Instead, as St. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Look to our Lord Jesus Christ, who did not exalt himself, though being of one substance with God, he most certainly is exalted in his very nature as the Son of God. But he, the exalted Son of God, humbled himself. Humbled himself unto death, even death on a cross. He did not save his life. He did not call down 12 legions of angels to rescue him. But he laid down his life for your sake. He died for your sins in accordance with the scriptures, writes Paul. He lost his life in order that he might save yours. He humbled himself in order that you might be exalted. In a word, he justified you by his death. And this was his good and gracious will. As he declared, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. This is the foundation of the Christian faith. The faith that stands apart from every false man-made religion of works. Every religion that seeks to exalt or justify oneself on the basis of what you've done. For Christianity clings to, and clings to alone, the merciful and gracious God, and finds in him forgiveness of sins for Jesus' sake, who looks to the cross and sees that Jesus bore our sins and suffered our punishment. The Christian religion is the only religion that clings to this hope, that preaches this hope, that believes this hope. And it is a sure and certain hope, for we have God's very own assurance of it. And on the basis of such assurance, we call on him, offering no good works of our own, but appealing to his mercy for Jesus' sake alone. This is what the tax collector did. He did not exalt himself, but instead he confessed himself to be a sinner, that there was nothing in him that was worthy of exaltation. He stood far off. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. He beat his breast and prayed, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. This is what our Christian lives ought to look like. Not pleading good works, not appealing to God's justice like the Pharisee. That only ends in condemnation, as it did for him. But instead, it is daily humbling oneself in contrition and repentance, daily drowning the old Adam with all sins and evil desires. But then also, daily emerging and arising to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. For you see, while the Christian life is daily humbling oneself, it does not end in humiliation. It didn't for Jesus. He was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Paul continues in Philippians chapter 2, God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, in Christ, who is risen indeed, we who humble ourselves daily in contrition and repentance, we will most certainly have an everlasting share in Christ's glorious exaltation. For as the scriptures say, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. The one who humbles himself will be exalted. The tax collector was. The Lord heard his petition. He granted his plea for mercy. He went down to his home justified, receiving exactly that for which he prayed. And so also the Lord hears your pleas. He grants your petitions. He justifies you. He bestows upon you his mercy. As you stand before him empty-handed, offering nothing to justify yourself, he in turn shows you his hands and his side, saying, this is what justifies you. This is what exalts you. This is what saves you. My blood shed for you. For the blood of Jesus, God's Son, truly cleanses us from all sins, even the deepest, darkest, worst sins imaginable. Extortion, cleansed. Injustice, cleansed. Adultery, cleansed. Every sin, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. For his sake, sinners like that tax collector go home justified. Jesus says, two men went up to the temple to pray. The one man prayed a prayer of self-exaltation. God, I thank you that I'm not like the rest of men. I'm not a sinner. I deserve life because of what I've done. But when he left that temple, he would return to his house in the same lost and condemned state that he entered it. The other, however, prayed a prayer of humiliation. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when he left the temple and returned to his home, he did so justified in the eyes of God. This morning, you've done the same thing as that Pharisee and the tax collector. You've come to the house of God to worship. You've come to this church to pray. And the prayers on your lips, given to you by the liturgy, are not the prayers of the Pharisee, not boasting of your works, not seeking your salvation according to the law, for that is a false, misleading dream. Rather, you've been given the prayer of the tax collector to pray. You've said, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities. You've prayed, Lord, have mercy upon us. You will soon pray, forgive us our trespasses. And as surely as Jesus said about the tax collector, I say to you, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, you will leave this place and go back to your homes, justified in the eyes of God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus humbled himself unto death on the cross for you. Now he is exalted, risen from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father. And therefore humble yourself in daily contrition and repentance. Look to him in faith, and he will most certainly exalt you now with his mercy and grace, and at the end, in a resurrection like his, unto everlasting life and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.